This is Molly Hemingway of The Federalist. Join me, my husband Mark of Real Clear Investigations, 12-time All-American swimmer Riley Gaines, Aaron Wren of The American Conservative, and others for the 2024 Making the Case Conference, Friday, July 12th and Saturday, July 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org. Making the Case, July 12th and 13th in Chicago. issuesetc.org.
The whole goal of that NPR tote bag and that NPR coffee mug was to be able to show that even though I go to a Southern Baptist university, I'm an NPR kind of person, and you're not.
There's just nothing in the pages of Scripture, Old Testament or New Testament, that says that the weak should sacrifice for the strong. But that's what surrogacy is. It's always children sacrificing on behalf of adults. It's always children doing hard things so adults can have what they want.
Remember your baptism. That's our essential identity. Don't wake up in the morning and say, I'm a Democrat, I'm a Republican, I'm a black Christian. Well, you're a Christian who happens to be black. And this is what's going to endure forever and ever.
Yes, death will devour you. But no, it will not be the end of you, because I've made a path through death for you. Jesus as sheep is devoured. Jesus as shepherd, it conquers death and leads his flock out of death into eternal life.
Lutherans praying matins at the Martin plus Katie conference love issues, etc.
Seen the headline making the rounds on social media from Forbes magazine. Majority of U.S. Catholics think abortion should be legal, survey shows. Well, it's citing a Pew Research Center poll of U.S. Catholics. What is meant by Catholics? Self-identifying Catholics. That covers a lot of ground. And why is Forbes interested in abortion? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Tuesday afternoon, the 23rd of April. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris will join us to talk about that Pew Research Center poll of American Catholics on legalized abortion. We'll spend some time with you, our listener, in listener email on the Issues Etc. comment line. Then we'll be looking forward to Sunday morning according to the three-year lectionary, the fifth Sunday of Easter, and the gospel reading in John 15, where Jesus declares himself to be the true vine. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is founder and president of the Ruth Institute. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities. She's author of several books, including her latest, The Sexual State, How Elite Ideologies Are Destroying Lives and Why the Church Was Right All Along. Jennifer, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Were you surprised to read that about 60% of U.S. Catholics favor legal abortion?
Well, I was a little bit surprised until I opened up the link and looked more closely that number has a lot of people who are marginally Catholic, shall we say. When you break it down by weekly mass attendance, you get something very different. So yes and no is my answer to that question.
So a big part of this issue is what we mean by Catholic, or how people are identifying as Catholic. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. That's right. And so in the article that Forbes linked to from the Pew Research Institute, if you scroll down and you actually look at it, they break it down in the following way. Among Catholics who attend Mass weekly or more versus Catholics who attend monthly or less or never, okay? So those who attend weekly or more, 66% say that abortion should be illegal in most or all cases, which is almost the opposite of the number which you'd have if you looked at so-called all Catholics, right? So in other words, the people who show up on Christmas and Easter, or maybe even never, but still wear the Catholic nameplate on their head for whatever reason, I don't know why, but they do, those people, the Catholics in name only, look a whole lot like the rest of the population, and they're watering down what the views of Catholics as a whole really look like. If you look at people who are actually practicing their faith, they are much more closely aligned with the teachings of the church, which I'm sure doesn't surprise you as a confessional Lutheran. You guys probably see the equivalent of that in your denomination, too.
Why is it important to also distinguish between Hispanic and non-Hispanic Catholics?
Well, I think it's kind of interesting because this is something that I'm kind of tuned into myself because I've lived in the Southwest. You know, I've lived in California, which had a lot of Hispanic Catholics. Hispanic Catholics on this issue look like the rest of America, which is not a good thing, right? Even though I know from my encounters with Hispanic Catholics that they're very pro-family and very family-oriented and in many respects very sympathetic with the traditional values of the church. But unfortunately, conservatives, whether theological or political conservatives, don't talk to Hispanics very much. You know, they don't have enough people to speak the language, both literally and culturally. And so therefore, what happens with Hispanic Catholics is that they listen to the pro-immigration Democrats. Those are the people who show up. Those are the people who talk to them. Those are the people who know how to speak their language in all respects. And so, therefore, I think a lot of Hispanic Catholics do not really know everything that the Democratic Party actually stands for. And so they look a lot like the rest of America in a way that's not good and I think not really aligned with their ultimate values.
What is the official teaching of Rome on abortion?
Well, the official teaching on Rome is the same as it's been for 2,000 years, which is abortion is a heinous crime and is always and everywhere to be condemned. And this was one of the things that actually helped the church to grow in the early days. Professor Rodney Stark, the late Rodney Stark, you may know of his work, who's not a Catholic, not a believer at all, as far as I know, but he wrote very convincingly that part of the reason the church grew in the early days when it was being persecuted is that women were attracted to the church because they knew if they married a Christian man, he would not make them expose their babies to the elements and kill the baby. You know, the paterfamilias in Roman times had the ultimate say over life and death of every member of the family. And so the consistent teaching against abortion and infanticide has for a long time been the source of growth in the church. And I think it can be again, but we're in a very dangerous cul-de-sac right now culturally in the West.
Why does Catholic teaching oppose abortion? What is it about abortion that is intrinsically evil?
It is the deliberate taking of an innocent human life. That is what the church's position is, that the deliberate taking of an innocent human life is always and everywhere gravely wrong, okay? If the life is not innocent, if the person dies accidentally or in the process of doing something else, that's a different matter. But the deliberate taking of an innocent human life is always to be rejected, always morally wrong, never can be excused.
If you listen to, especially here in the U.S., if you listen to Roman Catholic lawmakers who oddly seem sometimes to be to a person pro-abortion, they make it sound like this is an open question for Catholics, like the question of when life, human life begins is still murky and undecided by their church. Is that true?
That is absolutely not true. The church knows perfectly well what science knows, which is that a unique human life begins at the moment of conception. Science knows that. The church knows that. Those guys are making stuff up, too. God alone will judge their motives for why they say that kind of stuff. But on that point, there's absolutely no ambiguity.
How do you explain the rising number of people who identify as Catholic that say they favor legal abortion?
Well, I think there are a number of reasons. I mean, first of all, Todd, the whole economy and the whole society has reorganized itself around abortion and contraception. The idea that you can have sex without having babies is now thoroughly ensconced in law and social practice here in the United States. And superficially, it's very appealing. But of course, there are numerous pitfalls, you know, and the deliberate taking of innocent human life is only one of the numerous pitfalls associated with trying to create a world where sex doesn't make babies. I mean, it's basically irrational to try to do that. But because it is superficially appealing, people are drawn to it. Everybody wants to believe it, Todd. This is the thing. The sexual revolution, well, I don't care whether you're talking about abortion or divorce or any of the other issues we could talk about. The sexual revolution says to us, you can do anything you want, and nothing bad will ever happen to anyone. The problem is all those taboos. Okay, the thing about that is everybody wants to believe that. It's intrinsically attractive or superficially attractive. And so if you do not specifically and intentionally resist the sexual revolution, you're going to be swept away by it. And when somebody says to you, you know, you really shouldn't believe all that stuff about the sexual revolution, you know, that isn't right, it doesn't sound right, what you're asking the person to give up is the fantasy that they can do anything they want and nothing bad will happen. They don't have to worry about consequences. They don't have to have a guilty conscience. Nothing like that is on the table. And you're asking them to sacrifice that for the sake of what? They can't quite figure it out. And that's why we're in the jam that we're in my opinion. And that's why I always try to come back to the core issue. Sex and babies are connected. And the attempt to separate those two and the attempt to build a whole society around them being separated, that's a fool's errand. It's irrational. It's making us crazy. It's making us stupid. It's making us mean. But you have to really have your wits about you or you're going to be swept away by the superficial appeal of the thing, Todd.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morris of the Ruth Institute is our guest. We're talking about a Pew Research Center poll on American Catholics and legalized abortion. On the other side, is the Catholic Church still a dependable voice for the unborn? You can meet and hear 12-time All-American swimmer Riley Gaines, journalists Mark and Molly Hemingway, Aaron Wren of the American Conservative, Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith, and Pastor Brian Wolfmiller of Has American Christianity Failed at the 2024 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, July 12th and Saturday, July 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Pastor Matthew Harrison, President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The LCMS operates the second largest parochial school system in the United States. What can you expect from a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod school? There's one race, the human race. And Jesus died for the sins of every man, woman, and child from every land and every nation. Life begins at conception. All life is precious from womb to tomb, and every student, parent, and teacher is created in the very image of God. There's right and wrong, and we know which is which from the Ten Commandments. There are only two sexes, male and female, He created them. Marriage is the lifelong union of one man and one woman. There's such a thing as objective, absolute truth, and it's found in the person and work of Jesus Christ and His Word. To find a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod school near you, visit lcms.org/schools.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkham. We're talking about a Pew Research Center poll on American Catholics on legalized abortion. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morris of the Ruth Institute is our guest. Folks, the early bird registration fee of $140 for our Making the Case conference expires 1 week from today, on Tuesday, April 30th. The premium conference for Christian laity is Friday, July 12th and Saturday, July 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. This year's speaking lineup includes Mark and Molly Hemingway, Riley Gaines, Aaron Wren, and Pastors Brian Wolfmiller, Chris Roseborough, and Will Whedon. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. Or give us a call, 618-223-8385, Making the Case, July 12th and 13th in River Forest, Illinois. Jennifer, pro-life non-Catholics like myself, we usually think of the Catholic Church as a very dependable voice in defense of the unborn. Is this still true?
Well, on paper, it's still true. But as you've been pointing out, there are plenty of people on our, you know, who have the Catholic brand name on their heads who are not reliable. But the church's doctrine, the church's teaching, that's what we have to cling to. That's what we have to support. Anybody who wants to help us, I'm all for it. Our catechism is still completely clear on this point. So in that sense, on paper, we are certainly there. And you and I know when you show up to pro-life events that the Catholics dominate. Generally, the Catholics are the ones who are there, and we're always looking, can we get a Lutheran pastor to be on here so that we don't look like we're all Catholic, kind of a thing. So the Catholic laity, I think there's still a very potent Catholic laity that is all in for the church's teaching. And that's, again, the difference between the mass-going Catholics and the other Catholics in name only. The mass-going Catholics are passionate on the pro-life question, and the non-mass-going Catholics, the Catholics in name only, some of them are passionately pro-abortion, but a lot of them are just kind of casual about it. They're kind of going with the flow people. And so, you know, if you ask them to show up or you ask them what they mean, maybe they'll show up to your thing. But if you're looking for people who will be consistently carrying the pro-life flag, yeah, you're going to have, it's going to be a lot of Roman Catholics, along with our Missouri Synod Lutheran brothers and sisters.
If you had to speculate, Jennifer, what percentage of priests seldom or never preach or teach on abortion?
Okay, from the pulpit, I can't tell you. Very few times do you hear the priests say anything about it from the pulpit. And the real question is, what do they do in the confessional? Are they letting people off the hook in the confessional? Are they saying, well, your reasons were good enough, anything like that? I would guess that the vast, vast majority of Catholic priests in the confessional are doing the right thing. That's my guess. Unfortunately, there aren't enough Catholics going to confession because there aren't enough clergy saying, hey, guys, you need to do this. This sacrament is important, and you need to show up for the sacrament. If for a whole bunch of reasons, you need to show up for the sacrament because, you know, we're a sacramental church, and the contact, the human contact, the material contact is an important part of our spiritual lives, which is true to some extent for you all, too, for confessional Lutherans. But as far as preaching, you don't hear very much preaching from the pulpit, but I suspect that the vast majority of Catholic priests are doing the right thing in the confessional.
You had mentioned that people are reading about this Pew Research Center poll in Forbes magazine. Why do you think Forbes is interested in abortion?
You know what? Oh, Todd, I'll tell you something. I've been noticing not only Forbes, but also the Wall Street Journal. They're terrible on these issues. I mean, they are all in for the Democratic most extreme line on these subjects. I mean, maybe not extreme, extreme, but there's no question where their sympathies lies. And I think the reason for that is that, as I mentioned earlier, the whole economy has been reoriented and has adapted to the availability of abortion and contraception. And so therefore, what has happened is that delayed childbearing is the price of entering into the professions. It's the price of entering into business leadership in the C-suites, as they call them, of the big corporations in America. Delayed childbearing is the price of entry. And so what that means is that the people in those positions of authority within the business community and the professions are drawn from those who were most likely, the vast majority of them, value their careers more than they value family. Probably a large percentage of them have utilized abortion, and many of them, probably all of them, most of them, have used contraception in some way. They didn't postpone childbearing till age 35 by living like nuns, okay? I mean, they have partaken of these things. So their lives as they understand them, their lives as they know them, depend on the separation of sex and babies. And I think that's why they're all in for it. I've noticed over at the Wall Street Journal, Todd, it's unbelievable. You would think that they would have some skepticism about the FDA and they would be sympathetic with the idea of industry capture of the FDA. But I've been following the question of the abortion pill and in what way that should be regulated. Okay. And so you may know that there is an alliance of Christian doctors and nurses and healthcare people. They call themselves the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine. And they are asking for the FDA's approval, sort of blanket approval of the use of the abortion pill to be reviewed. And the Wall Street Journal is like, oh, that's terrible. I'm sure the FDA is fine. And I'm like, what? This is crazy. And so what we have here now is a true spectacle, Todd, of a situation where women are going to be having do-it-yourself abortions at home with no medical supervision whatsoever. That's what the abortion pill is really all about. You could think of it as a chemical coat hanger that women are using to abort themselves with. And the business community is all okay. You know, no, the FDA, I'm sure the FDA is doing the right thing. No problem. Like, what? What is going on here? But that's the way in which this ideology around contraception, the idea that sex without babies is the norm for our society, that's the way it's corrupted all of us, I think. And that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the kind of the terminal stage of just how far can we let this ideology thing go? And the answer is we can let it go pretty darn far. That's what we're dealing with, Todd.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is founder and president of the Ruth Institute. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason University. Author of several books, including her latest, The Sexual State, How Elite Ideologies Are Destroying Lives, Why the Church Was Right All Along. You'll find a link to this book and to the Ruth Institute at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Jen, thanks.
You're very welcome.